From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Anna Van Dyne.
And I'm Josh Crane. It's Thursday, April 20th. Here are today's headlines.
The Scott administration says Vermont needs to do a better job protecting its critical infrastructure from cyber attacks. Sean Naylor is Secretary of the Agency of Digital Services. He urged lawmakers this week to pass legislation that would create a statewide cybersecurity council. Naylor says the panel would improve coordination and communication between state cybersecurity experts and critical sectors such as electric utilities and hospitals.
Because the best defense we have is not the latest technology. Right. The best defense is informed people.
Computer networks maintained by the state of Vermont have experienced more than 19 million cyber attacks in the last year alone. And state officials say those attacks pose a threat to privacy, the economy, and critical infrastructure, such as water and electricity.
On Tuesday, a man held at Northeast Correctional Complex in St. Johnsbury unsuccessfully tried to escape. That's according to the Department of Corrections. DOC Commissioner Nick Demmel says Seth Brunel did not make it out of the secure section of the prison.
You know, the individual attempted an escape, tried to climb one of the fences, was highly unsuccessful, never left the secure perimeter of the facility.
A DOC spokesperson in an email said staff did not use force when detaining Brunel. DOC will review the incident and state police will conduct a separate investigation. Brunel was accused last year of stabbing 29-year-old Fern Feather to death. He is being held without bail on a second-degree murder charge.
The University of Vermont announced plans this week to reach carbon neutrality by 2030. The plan calls for boosting investments in renewable energy, improving building efficiency, and reducing the size of the school's vehicle fleet by 10%, according to VT Digger. The plan also aims to lower greenhouse gas emissions by 60% over the next year, purchase 24% more Vermont-grown food by 2030, and create research programs that would, quote, further humanity's responsible stewardship of the planet. The plan will be revised every 5 years, and a leadership committee will report on its progress, according to the university.
And if you're getting extra sniffly from seasonal allergies this year, you're not alone.
Anecdotally, I can tell you as an allergist, every year my patients tell me this year is the worst year for allergies ever.
That's Dr. Erin Ray, an allergy physician at Dartmouth Hitchcock Medical Center. Ray says studies suggest that our changing climate is impacting allergy season.
That has been studied best with ragweed. We found that depending on where you live, ragweed season is now lasting 2 to 4 weeks longer than it did in 1995.
Which means the plant has more time to release allergy-inducing pollen into the air. And when it comes to combating allergies to birch, oak, elm, and maple pollen, all of which are prevalent in Vermont right now, Ray suggests an over-the-counter steroid.
Coming up, the rise of natural burials. More after this.
Dozens of cemeteries across New England have started offering natural burials. That's where bodies can decompose underground, free from any embalming fluids or concrete vaults. And interest is growing as more people consider the climate and environmental benefits. Our colleague Lexi Krupp visited a cemetery in Montpelier working to keep up with demand.
At the entrance of Greenmount Cemetery is a white stone building. Inside, it's cool year-round.
So we have, let's see, 6 bodies.
It was built in the early 1900s to store the dead. It still gets some use, but not like it once did.
When I started 35 years ago, we used to almost fill it, but the cremation rate has gone way up.
Patrick Healy is the director of the cemetery here and president of the Vermont Cemetery Association. He says the bodies in the storage vault have all been embalmed. Most will be buried in a casket inside a big concrete vault. For the past few years, though, there's been a section in the cemetery where none of that happens. It's up a hill at the edge of a forest. Healy drove up there on an overcast day in early spring with his dog, Lulu.
We decided to create an orchard on this hillside.
There's no monuments here or a manicured lawn. The graves are shallower than a conventional burial. On top of one, daffodils are just beginning to poke up. Another is covered in hay from a burial this winter.
And it was probably 10 below that night, so we covered it up with hay so that the ground never really freezes, so you can start the decomposition process.
letting the dead decompose puts nutrients back in the soil. It doesn't have the chemicals or concrete used in most conventional burials or require the energy needed for cremations. People have been buried this way forever. It's the custom in Jewish and Muslim burials. But the process is new for lots of cemeteries in the U.S. Healy says he now gets a couple emails a week from people around the state asking how to bring natural burials to their towns. And he's not alone.
Marshfield just opened one, and Woodbury just opened one, and so did Hardwick.
Joe Mangan takes care of at least 5 cemeteries that now offer natural burials. This is a huge change from just a couple years ago. In 2015, only 5 cemeteries in all of New England offered natural burials. Now, there's well over 70 in the region. But it's taken some effort.
We realized that if we wanted to offer this as an option for people, that was the first biggest obstacle, was that it was against the law.
Jennifer Whitman used to be on the cemetery commission in the town of Calais. Before 2017, Vermont law required all burials to be 5 feet deep, and many individual cemeteries had bylaws requiring concrete vaults. Some still do, like in Burlington. Many of these rules are holdovers from over a century ago, when grave robbing was a big problem. There's more modern factors at play, too, like lawnmowers. Cement vaults keep the ground from settling, which is harder to mow.
The more and more we heard that, we're like, so wait, the ethic that's coming first is the lawnmower, not the human's belief in how they want to be buried.
Whitman led the effort to change this law in Vermont. She says initially there was a lot of pushback, including from Patrick Healy at Greenmount. Here's how he describes himself at the time.
I was the biggest opponent at the State House.
He had all these practical concerns, like animals digging up graves, the smell from bodies, or whether the dead would actually decompose in the soil here. He says none of that ended up being an issue.
It just feels more personal, like you can say goodbye to that person. You know that they're going to still be a part of the earth. They're not separate from the earth.
Janice Walrafin attended the first natural burial at a cemetery in Vermont in 2019. She remembers her friend's body wrapped in fabric and lowered into the earth. Friends and family filled in the grave with dirt and lots of flowers. In the months after, she planted a pollinator garden on top of the grave. When she tends the ground there now, she still feels connected to her friend, whose body is becoming part of that piece of earth. For Vermont Public, I'm Lexi Krupp.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Peter Hirschfeld, Karen Anderson, Liam Elder Connors, and Mary Engish.
Our executive producer is Kevin Trevelin, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Josh Crane.
And I'm Anna Van Dyne. Talk to you tomorrow.
Are we, you feel okay about putting this out with no 420 references?
Are you still recording?
Am I still? Yeah, I'm still recording.